This is Baptism Sunday. Are they clapping because of the baptisms or because they know it's a short sermon? Maybe both. It can be two things at once. You can be happy that the sermon's going to be short and that there's going to be baptisms. You can be happy about both of those things. We have this awesome opportunity to celebrate with these people. I think we baptized 17 this morning in Cressona and two in Tremont. And and we have a whole bunch today. Before I get to the brief word I have for you, if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, man, I've never been baptized, or and all of a sudden you feel like this is your moment, like you want to take advantage of it. We got t-shirts and we got towels. I have a closet of clothes that in my office that probably don't fit me anymore. They've been in there so long. And but getting wet's not it's a fun kind of getting wet. So if at any point this morning, if you're feeling like you want to get baptized, you can just trickle back and talk to Joan before she's up here. And once she's up here, Jimmy Sheridan will be back there. Or if it's over during the last songs, you want to get baptized, just come up and I'll talk with you and we can do that. I'm excited about this morning. Man, it's been an emotional morning. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Before we get to it, why don't we pray? And then I got just something short for you. God, we thank you so much for this morning, what we get to celebrate together. I pray that you would give us, help us to be clear of all the distractions and all the noise that is constantly bombarding us and all the inner dialogue that messes with all the stuff that kind of gets up in the way of our relationship with you and kind of clouds the connection. I pray that you just give us clarity this morning, that you would protect our hearts and our minds, that you would help us to focus not on me and not on the feeding trough up front, but on you. That's what deserves our attention. You deserve our attention. And you have something for us, some encouragement, some thought for our heart. We just pray that you would, we know you're going to speak, that we would be listening. What an awesome morning. Just filled with gratitude. Most of all, thank you just for who you are, that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in first service, they were like, you got 10 minutes and then baptism. So I did 10 minutes and they were nowhere to be found. They're all sleeping upstairs. So you watch, they're going to be like chomping at the bit to get back up here today. They're like, when do you ever speak in the time you said you were going to speak into? Which they have a point. They have a point. We have, I want to just share with you a thought from the book of Matthew in chapter 8. And if you follow along, you take notes, you have your phone, you just want to follow the story along. It's just a couple of sentences in the beginning of Matthew chapter 8. And I think it's something that is, it kind of gets to me, and it also pertains to kind of what these guys are doing a little bit, and it's a good word in Matthew chapter 8. To pick the context of the story up, if you know anything about the book of Matthew, you know in the beginning of the book of Matthew, you have what we call today the Sermon on the Mount. That's not what Jesus called it. He wasn't like, oh, like us stupid preachers today. The title of today's message is the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't like that, right? Like, this was just a collection of teachings as he began his ministry up in the hills. He would teach these things. And now scholars don't know if this was all just laid out there at once. It very well could have been. Or if it was a teaching and then, you know, a break and then teaching a break. But we do know that these large crowds gathered around Jesus to hear what he had to say. What he had to say sounded way different than everything they had been hearing. This guy didn't talk like all the other rabbis, religious teachers, Pharisees, religious leaders talked. He talked with authority. What he said sounded different than the same old stuff they had heard over and over and over again. And you have in the story, the collection in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, in the Sermon of the Mount, just some absolutely incredible stuff packed in there. He starts the whole sermon by saying, like, blessed are you. Blessed are you when you mourn, because you'll be comforted. Blessed are you when they persecute you. Blessed are you when are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. And all of these, what we call today the Beatitudes, are just listed right off the bat. And then he gets into these absolutely incredible teachings like, you are the salt of the earth. And when it comes to worrying, which we'll get to this passage actually in the series, we're pausing, if you didn't catch it, the I'm Fine mental health series for a week. So for today, at least, you got to be fine today. I'm fine. I got today. Okay. Right? Like, he talks about worry and like how God will take care of us even when we fear the worst. And he talks about how we're supposed to love our enemies and teaches us how to pray and talks about how we should set our hearts on things of heaven and not of this earth and reorient our priorities towards what is eternal and not what is just temporary. And he gets to this whole thing, he comes to the end and he's like, hey, and by the way, there's wise builders and foolish builders. Which one are you going to be? These people that are getting baptized today are publicly saying, I'm building my life on my faith. They're saying, I've decided to be the wise builder. Jesus was like, you can build your house. The foolish person builds their house on the sand. The things that the wind and the waves of life can easily erode. They shift as your day shifts, as your circumstances shift, as your life shifts. And what Jesus is saying, like, build yourself on something that is unchanging. Build your life on God, who is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His love for you never ceases. What are you going to build your life on? He wraps this talk, and he starts heading off the mountainside, and large crowds follow him down. They just needed more. They wanted more. You know, they weren't like, can't wait for this sermon to be over so I can get to lunch. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about me right there. It's my inner dialogue sometimes. So these large crowds are following Jesus off of the mountainside, and something absolutely incredible happens in the beginning of Matthew chapter 8. Check this out. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, when you read that, it's easy to just read past stuff in the Bible and be like, oh, okay. After all, isn't this kind of typical? Somebody's sick. They get Jesus' attention. They ask him a question like this. Jesus heals them, right? And then we all kind of move on our merry little ways. It's easy to read past this, but when you really start to think about what's happening in Matthew chapter 8, it has a much more significant impact on who you are, what you're going through, what your life looks like. This man with leprosy was probably lurking in the shadows nearby as Jesus was teaching all of these incredible teachings on the Sermon in the Mount. Now he's lurking in the shadows. When I picture this in my mind, and this might be completely off, like I picture like these grassy hills and Jesus is teaching up there in these large crowds and then in the woods somewhere in the tree line, right? Like you have these group of people with leprosy who are kind of lurking back away from the crowd. They wouldn't have been allowed to be part of the crowd because if you know anything about leprosy and people in the Bible, like this was a really big deal, some sort of skin condition that was contagious. And what was horrific about this was not only did you have to live with the physical ailment of like flesh falling off your body, which can't be nice, but you were also considered a social outcast. Upon finding out that you had leprosy, you were put away into a colony, out of sight, out of mind from all the healthy people. Didn't matter who your family was or how many friends you had or whatever, those relationships, as you knew them, stopped being those relationships. You were a social outcast. People would see you and they would yell things like, unclean, unclean. Unclean. People would cut over to the other side of the road to avoid you. put away from the people and the friends that you had. But what was even more heartbreaking than that, and that is heartbreaking. What's even more heartbreaking is that is not only were they social outcasts, but they were considered spiritual outcasts. You see these marks on their skin, put big question marks in everybody else's mind. And they were considered to be unclean, not just physically or socially, but also spiritually unclean. And why did they get leprosy? They must have done something wrong. They had to do something bad. God is punishing them, or he is angry at them, and that's why they have this ailment. Can you imagine walking around with that kind of weight on your shoulders, believing, being convinced that not only is there something wrong with you physically, not only are you heartbroken socially, but that God hates you and is punishing you. These guys with leprosy, man, so heartbreaking. I can't even begin to imagine the inner turmoil, the trauma, that these guys would, and women would have been carrying around. But for whatever reason, this guy, maybe a few of his buddies, maybe not, is lurking in the shadows, listening to Jesus as Jesus tells a different story than they had heard before. This is not the same old religious jargon. This was different. This was about a God who is in love with and passionately pursues people, drawing them back to himself. This is about a God who has a plan for you and a design for your life and who wants you to step into that so that you can experience all that he made you for. He's a lurking, right? Like some creepy lurker in the woods. Like he's listening and he's hearing this. And then at some point, Jesus gets up and he's done talking and the crowd is kind of shuffling around and you get this sense that the teaching is done for the time being as everybody kind of like gets up before the last song is finished and starts like wrapping it up and moving and shuffling around in their chairs, right? Like ready to take off for the day. And as he's noticing that the crowd seems like they are fidgeting and getting ready to disperse, he had to think to himself, I have to see this Jesus who is different. What if this is my only moment? What if he is who they've been saying he is? What if he can do what they have been saying he can do? What if this is my moment? And so this absolute incredible thing happens as Jesus is heading down the mountainside with large crowds of people behind him. This man with leprosy has the courage enough to step out of the shadows and into the light and pursue this Jesus. He runs him down on the grassy hillside. He falls in front of him on his knees. And the crowd probably went, couple steps back, who's going to yell unclean? Maybe they were like hoping Jesus would. He's clearly the closest one to the man with leprosy, and thank the Lord for that, because we don't want to be around this guy. I bet you there were judgmental faces in that crowd of people. I bet you there were audible gasps as they backed away from this one who clearly should not be here. Some of you ever feel like you shouldn't be here? You're not good enough, too unclean, too many skeletons in your closet. Maybe somebody's actually told you that you aren't good enough for God. The crowd backs up, judgment, questions, disgust. Who does this guy think he is? But this guy, he falls to his knees in front of Jesus, and then he says this, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I love this. This guy, I don't even know if he knows how right he got it, but he got it right in this moment. Who cares what the crowd's going to say? Who cares what the who cares what they think about you? Who cares what they're going to say about you? It only matters what Jesus says about you when it comes down to it. Not, can you fix me? It doesn't say, can you make me better? It's not, can you save this relationship? Can you heal my heart? Can you make me whole again? It's not, can you fix me? Can you love me? It's not that. He goes, I know you can. It's just if you will. What a beautiful expression of faith. It means I got to change some of my prayers. I got to stop asking him if he can. I'd be more like, God, is this your will? And I trust you if it's not. Is this your will? This beautiful expression. If you're willing, I know you can make me clean. And then to the fear and disgust of everybody that got to see this moment, Jesus does something that this guy has not experienced in a long time. People run from him. People back up from him. Jesus comes closer. This guy made it most of the way, but Jesus finished the job. He steps up to him, and it says this, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing, be clean. This guy hadn't been touched in forever. Nobody cut the extra distance to him. Everybody just backed away. And if you think God is going to look into your heart, see your mistakes and your failures and your shortcomings, if you think he is a God who backs away from you, you got the wrong God. The real God comes close. He touches you. He cares about you. Doesn't matter what else is happening. Jesus steps towards him and says, I am willing, be clean. Today rocked this guy's world and probably rocked a lot of other people's worlds too. It's a beautiful picture. And it's time to get out of the shadows. To step into the light. To trust a God who is passionate about you, who is pursuing you, who cares deeply. He knows everything about you and it doesn't scare him. You can't push him away. It's time for you to meet that Jesus. Like not in person right now. We have this awesome opportunity this morning. And what these people that have said they were going to get baptized are saying today is they're saying, I'm not lurking around this anymore. I'm not shy about it. I'm stepping out. I don't care who knows. I don't care if the crowd gasps and backs up. I don't care what they got to say about me. I don't care. All that matters to me is what Jesus says about me, and he thinks I'm pretty awesome. And this is about me saying and us saying together, saying, I don't care who knows it. I'm not hiding my faith. I'm not going to put it under a bushel, like that little children's song, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm putting the jersey on. I belong to Jesus. And I'm so proud of you all for taking this step. Whew. It's been a long day, and the emotions are starting to catch up to me. And so I'm going to just say this without emotion. Just not easy. I'm proud. I'm just so humbled and thankful that you guys let me be a small part of this step. Thank you. If you're deciding like now that you want to get, stop clapping already. Save it for later. If you decide like this morning that you're like, hey, I want to do this. I want to get baptized and I didn't plan for it. I don't care. Come on up here. Get your butt in the feeding trough. We're going to do this thing. That is the most unspiritual thing I've ever said. At a baptism, we got t-shirts, we'll figure it out. I have a lot of preaching jackets back there. If you need to borrow one, you can borrow one. The worship team's going to come up. During this time, you can move to where you can see. I thought it was awesome. A family had their kids up here because they wanted their kids to see it. You can stand up if it's hard to see. Just move around. We'll have somebody up here taking pictures. There'll be people standing. It's not going to be weird. It's something to celebrate. So we clap after everyone. If celebrating isn't something you think should happen in church, you're probably in the wrong spot. And we just want to be as connected to these people and as with these people as we can be, showing them that we love them and support them and are so proud that they are taking this next step in faith. Baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't. Your faith saves you. But baptism is a next step that God says we're supposed to take. It's something He commands us to take. And if you feel that conviction, that pull, that tug of your heart this morning, don't let something like a little bit of water, a crowd of people, I didn't register, I don't know where we're going to eat after this. Like, don't let that garbage get in the way of doing business with Jesus.